start with an interesting vignette, which I share with a gentleman tonight. I ended up this year teaching once a week in Europe, the 12th grade. So yesterday, I was sitting there talking to these girls, and 12th grade girls, so I was saying to them, are you girls ready for Rosh Hashanah? So I said to them, I want you to know something. When you're in like 9th grade, or 10th grade, or 11th grade, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is really, really important. But I said, when you're in 12th grade, next year, you're probably going to go to a Jewish seminary in Israel. Where you go to seminary could affect radically the rest of the direction of your life. It could end up where you end up afterwards. It affect who you're married. You know, it could affect who your friends are. I said, do you realize on Rosh Hashanah this year, Yom Kippur, you have no idea where you're going to be next Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur? Last year, you were in 11th grade. You knew you'd be here for 12th grade. The year before, you were in 9th grade and 10th grade. You knew where you're going to be. Next year, you have no idea where you're going to be. And where you're going to be could affect the rest of your life in this world. So I started telling them this. So one of the girls said to me, I believe in you, you tried to scare us. So I said to her, no. Because it's true whether I tell this to you or not. I'm trying to inform you of what's at stake on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I'm not trying to scare you. Scaring you would be, maybe this is true, maybe it's not true. What I'm telling you is 100% true. You're either aware of this, or you're not aware of this. You either appreciate this fact, or you don't appreciate this fact. But it's going to happen with or without me telling you this. So you might as well know, so you can take advantage of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So I was telling the gentleman, the past tonight's been similar things. Like, we're all in this room, everyone here. I know everyone in here. No walk-ins off the street tonight. Everyone here is diverse and has diverse needs. But all of us have needs this year. All of us have great needs. And really, we come into Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you have to know that. And anything that we can do, now obviously the most important thing Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is closest to Hashem. But on top of that, we're judged. We're going to be judged. And everything, all the potential for the year ahead, and there's a lot of potential, is going to be decided. So anything that we can do, and everything that we can do, we should do now. I was telling the guys, if you're going to do a good deed, you're going to do charity, you're going to do a mitzvah, you're going to call somebody and make up, you want to do some extra Torah, say, do it now. It's worth more now than in a month from now. You know why? Because now will it affect your judgment for the year ahead. Right? If you're going to make, you know, pick something to work on, do it now. And that's why we're here tonight. We're working on ourselves. This is a great, great schus, a great merit for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Be'ez Hashem, the merit of our study and the merit of our efforts will be rewarded with a great Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and a great year. So we're going to start in the beginning. Not Bereishis. But in the beginning of the Sefer. Perek Aleph. So we did the Hakdama, the introduction. I looked the other day, it looked like there are quite a few dozen downloads, I think 60 or 70. So if you want to review, it's online. You can just go online, thanks to Jacob Stolen. He puts it online usually by the end of the night. So it's always good to review when you're, you know, cooking for Rosh Hashanah or you're in the car. The politics are really depressing these days and it's not so interesting. You can put me on instead or any Torah tape. You'll get a lot more, I guarantee you, than that. So let's start with Perek Aleph. But when I say this, working on ourselves, developing ourselves, refining ourselves, is what life's really about. And the greatest, you know, any teachers? The teacher in the class, right? When you have a student, and you they're not up to par, but you see them working on themselves, you see them making efforts, would you say that you give them the benefit of the doubt, you judge them favorably, right? Is that a yes? Right? For the record, is that a yes? That's a yes. That's a yes. You heard, we have a veteran teacher. Right? So when you think about it, Hashem's going to look at us. We all have things that we need to work on, and we have all of our imperfections. But if we're making efforts, if we're working on ourselves, that's a tremendous merit for ourselves. Kamar Yom Kippur. If a human teacher could look at a student and say, wow, this student's really trying, you know, how much more so will Hashem look at us and say, oh, wow, look at my child. Look at the efforts they're making. So realize that what we're doing here is really, really important. Don't downgrade coming to a class like this and more importantly working on ourselves is how important it is in the eyes of Hashem. Says the Ramchal. I love this chapter, by the way. I love this book. I love this sefer. This is like such an unbelievable sefer. This is so... It's like this, you know, this is a gift. This is a gift. This is a key and a gift. And we should realize it's a key and a gift. Says the Ramchal. Yisoyed ha-chasidus v'shoyrish ha-avoida ha-tmima. The foundation of true piety and the root of perfect service of Hashem. Yisoyed ha-chasidus, the foundation of piousness and the root of pure service. Hu she'isbarer, that a person should clarify the Is'ametz Eitzel Ha'adam and should become verified and true to a person. What is our obligation in this world? Why are we here? You want to know what's the path of righteousness? How a person becomes pious? You gotta know why you're here. If you are in a job, you don't know what your job description is, you're not gonna be doing a good job. If you come into somewhere, you don't know what you're supposed to do, you're not gonna do it well. But listen to what it says, by the way. Any person, any Hebrew diktuk people here? Anybody into diktuk? Machayvasoi ba'olamo is subjective. What one person's obligation is not the other person's obligation. Chovaso, what is your obligation? Now there are 613 mitzvahs, which is objective. Okay, we all have to work on it, but then we're all different. We're all born in different places in this world. We all have different statuses and situations. We all have different natures. We all have different nurtures. We all have different experiences. We all have different challenges. You gotta know what our obligation is based on who we are. Beyond the objective reality of God saying Torah mitzvahs, Hashem has different expectations for all of us. We just had a veteran teacher, I won't name her, call her out, but she's very good at music. I will be very frank, I was never known for my voice. If I thought my goal in life was to be a musician, I gave piano lessons, my parents made me take me piano lessons for 1 week. I said, forget about this. I was never a musician. There is no way. But let's imagine I was naive enough to say, oh, I'm going to be a musician. I'd be fooling myself. That's not my obligation. You got to know who everyone has to know themselves. Machoivaso bo'olamo means you got to know what your obligation is in this world. Right? You know... My wife is due very soon. So if I told her, like in 3 weeks from now, we're having 20 guests for Shabbos. We're having 20 guests and a little baby. What? No, don't worry about it. We're bringing 20 guests. You think that's my obligation 3 weeks from now? It's not my obligation. It won't be my wife's obligation. We have a few other obligations. Maybe a different week. Maybe in a few months from now. Not in 3 weeks from now. I mean, 3 weeks will be really tough, by the way. Let's push it off a little bit. 4 weeks from now, I get the timing over here. You know? Hashem has to make it the right time for me, of course. You know, just hold off a little bit. Let me get through Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. No, but seriously, I mean, I can tell my wife, Hakanasas Orchim. We need guests! Mitzvah! It's not my chavaso. It's not going to be my chavaso. I got to take my wife's going to have a baby. You know, I can't talk. It's a mitzvah to have guests. You gotta know what your situation in life is. You have mitzvahs that are at that point in life nothing. A person has to know, you know, what a person's obligation is in this world. So machal vaso, you don't know what your obligation is in this world, you're not gonna be able to achieve what you're supposed to achieve in this world. You're not gonna be able to accomplish what you need to accomplish in this world. For piety, you have to know towards the goal that you should put your drives and ambitions. What you're doing, what you're investing your life in throughout your life. We're putting our kochas in. We're putting our strengths into. Our sages of blessed are, I mean the sages of the Talmud and the works of Kabbalah, the early, like the Zohar. Sha'adam lo nivra. The first thing you have to know is that man is not created el lehis aneg al Hashem v'lahanois miziv shchinasoi. That man is created to take delight in Hashem and to benefit from the ziv, the radiance of His presence. That each of us, without exception, in this room, are put into this world to benefit, to glean, to gain from closest to Hashem. The word is lisanig, to take delight. Take delight. You know, that's better than any donut, better than any act of any pleasure you can imagine in this world. Right? Any pleasure. Lisanig al Hashem. To have true benefit for the Israel, shezehu atanig hamiti, for that is a true delight. For a person in this world to have closeness to Hashem is the greatest simcha, the greatest joy. Va'idun ha'gadol mikol adunim sheyachol matzah, and the greatest pleasure of all pleasures. Now let me tell you, I grew up in Miami Beach. You know, anyone heard Miami Beach is in the news these days. Zika, gotta be careful. My parents told me there's a wedding this Sunday in Miami Beach. 50 guests from New York canceled, unfortunately. Poor family has a wedding. 50 guests were nervous to come. But I grew up in Mid Beach in Miami Beach. It was, you know, middle class, upper middle class area. But not far from me was a really rich area, like really wealthy. So I quit piano after 1 week. No way for piano for me, but I played basketball. I was an avid basketball player in my youth. I gave up basketball for, you know, the greater closeness to Hashem. But when I was young, I played basketball. I used to play basketball with all these Jewish kids. Super wealthy kids, spoiled to the core, actually. They weren't happy. You think cars make you happy? These guys, when teenagers, would come there with, like, sports cars. Like, see, the valley, they don't know what wealthy living is. You go to parts of South Florida, you see wealth. You see, you know, really wealthy people. See South Americans who come and buy these huge houses. Like, the richest people from Argentina and Venezuela. All you live is driving cars, like, you know, Porsches, convertibles, Lamborghinis. Like, you don't see Lamborghinis. There you see Lamborghinis at Miami Beach. See, these kids would be 16, 17, 18 years old, and they come with these fancy sport cars. We play basketball, Jewish kids, non-Jewish kids, etc. They're happy kids. I'm telling you, I knew these guys. You think cars make you happy? You think clothes make you happy? You think drugs make you happy? Nothing these things make you happy. They may be fun. They may be a short high. You can get high on these things, but they don't make you happy. You know. Shh. Hold on a second. Gentlemen. Guys are impossible. Gentlemen. Shh. You're being recorded for posterity. That's being noisy. Kabbalah, yeah. Okay. You think that this thing's gonna, it doesn't make a person happy. You know, I've dealt with depressed people. So here you have a guy or a lady. They have so much materialism, and they're depressed. You know what depressed? You know what it means to be depressed? That you have a lot of good things. It's so much a miserable existence. You can have everything. You're gonna shoot yourself. It's nothing. You think that the person thinks these external things, or even what you would look at as, you know, posh things. And then there are certain people when life is going good. There are plenty of people. You know, things are going well. And they're relatively happy. Not everyone is miserable. There are plenty of happy people in this world. But you watch them, that same person. Life is smooth. And something goes not their way, they get fired from the job. they want to kill themselves. I'm not joking. I've dealt with people. You've all met such people. Or they don't want to kill themselves, but they're miserable. They can't even smile. Yeah, they're the loss of it. They're still healthy. They still have wife and kids. They want to kill themselves. They're depressed. Yeah, a job. You got a new job. It takes a few months, you know. They can't buy the house they want. They can't. Maybe not miserable, but they're not happy. They get stirred because they don't have a closeness to Hashem. They don't, you know, not only do they not have a closeness, they don't feel Hashem in their lives. And by the way, as I've said many a time, this world, you can't run away from tests. There are tests in Jerusalem, there are tests in New York, there are tests in San Jose. You can't escape Olam Hazeh. You may have different tests, but you can't escape Olam Hazeh. And wherever you are in this world, you will be tested. You will be challenged. There is no such thing as escaping tests. You know why? Because that's what this world's about. And if you don't have that closest to Hashem, and everyone is tested. Listen, I had plenty of tests the past few weeks of my life. I can tell you. You have a list of them that I had. And we're all tested. And some are easier, some are harder. But you will be tested. We're all tested. And if you don't have that closest to Hashem, maybe you won't want to kill yourself. Maybe you won't be manically depressed, but you won't be happy. It will bother you. You walk around. You know what it is? You know what it is to walk around for a few weeks unhappy? Loss of life. Tragedy. It's tragic. That's tragic. You have a gift. You know, the greatest pleasure is closest to Hashem. Because you could have a sports car, Lamborghini. You could have a great spouse, like I do. But, you know, I won't bring 20 guests. I mean, but it can be depressed. Like anyone else. I'm all like that, right? You can have everything great. You could be miserable without closeness to Hashem. It means, pick. I once was reading a thing, you know, that extreme anxiety or depression or unhappiness is much more painful. People would rather break their arm, lose an arm, than have that. And they're quantifying it. You know how we know this? Because a person can have a tremendous arm ache and they'll lose an arm. They don't want to kill themselves. Person, let's say everyone wants to kill, but they have thoughts of that. Thoughts of depression, the thoughts of life is meaningless. I've had normal people in my office say, I want to die. No, they don't really mean that, but at some level they feel that way. You know why? Because they don't feel Hashem in life. You feel Hashem in your lives, you never want to die. You only want to live. You only want more. Now even great people, there's times of difficulties. Even the most righteous people have challenges, which are, you know, there's blessings on mourning, and there's mourning, and there's good days and bad days. We'll be reading soon on Sukkot, Shlomo HaMelech, wise of all men. It's a time for joy, and a time for weeping, and a time for gladness, time for sadness. There is, but we're talking about general demeanor. a Weltanschauung. It's fake, you know what a Weltanschauung? Oh, we have two musicians over here. A corner of musicians over there. I realize over here. I feel like, you know, my self-esteem of music's in big trouble over here. I was the worst. Still am. You know, right? You know, a Weltanschauung, a worldview. That's what we're looking for. A worldview of closeness to Hashem. Of feeling close to Hashem. If you don't have this, it's one thing to work on. I can't. You know, when you're married, imagine being married to a stranger who you don't have any feeling for. Wouldn't that marriage be sad at some level? Wouldn't it be wrong at some level? Right? It's you marry someone who hates you, or you feel you don't trust. That's a terrible feeling. Imagine walking in this world without closeness to Hashem. That's what it is at some level. Right? You walk in this world, and you feel like you can get hit by a car just by chance. You know, or you lost your job, and life is over. Right? There are people, I remember. Actually, I don't give details. I mean, there are people who have everything going, and they got a little, and all of a sudden, life is terrible. Life is terrible, you know. I got a shidduch call today. This mother's, first she asked me about the person, and then it was about a boy she wanted to know, and then she starts giving me a whole drasha. You know, there are girls, 24 years old, like, life is over. She's not married yet. Come on. You're healthy, you're happy, your life is over, your whole life is ahead of you. You know, life is over. Happens to be, guess what, if you're not married. I got married. I'll tell you, I dated for a few years, personally. I dated for a few years, and in retrospect, I was my wife's first person. So I couldn't have got married earlier. I got married at the earliest possible time. Right? You think I sat there for 3 years, life is terrible, life is over, oh, God hates me. It's like, you know, there are people who live that way. You have a girl, she's healthy, she's happy, she has a job, she things are good, and like literally she can't function because she's not married. That's how you live. You think it's Hashem who's going to pick when you're married? Of course, you can't go on a date and, you know, smelly and say, oh, God's going to marry me off. No, you got to do your due diligence. You know, I always tell guys, brush your teeth, make a time, look good. You know, guys don't know these things. You'd be surprised. Like, they're single. Like, these poor guys don't know to brush their teeth, and then they get married. Jokes aside, if you ever see a single guy's room, as a general rule, when they're by themselves, if you've been in a yeshiva dorm, don't. You know, your sons, they survive. But you can't imagine how these boys' hygiene is. You just can't imagine. Like, it's like.
Stop while you're ahead.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, I'm like going back to my youth and what some of my friends did. But you know what? So if you want to get married, boys, you gotta shape up. You gotta groom yourself. You gotta look up. But you know what? Ultimately, that's all Hashem. You don't feel Hashem, you can walk around for a few years miserable while you're dating. Because if you don't get married, where? And there are people who do. Religious Jews, believe it or not. They wear yarmulkes, and they're very religious, and they have skirts, and they're in the best seminaries or schools, and they're still miserable because they don't feel Hashem. You can live, you know, next to the Kol Yisrael in the Jerusalem. You know, actually, which unfortunately had a dangerous week this week. But let's imagine it's not dangerous. It's great. Close to Hashem, proximity. I mean, miserable because you don't feel Hashem in life. It doesn't make a difference. It's closest to Hashem. That's the greatest pleasure in this world. To feel Hashem in your life, to have that feeling, that comfort, that not it's not like artificial, like, you know, superficial, like, I want to say, like, you know, believe in something fake. It's because it's true. It's because it's a reality. Right? That's the greatest hana in this world. That's the greatest pleasure. So tanik ha'amiti, this is the greatest pleasure. Va'idan ha'gadol mikol idunim shechal ma'atzei. And the greatest possible pleasure that can exist. Umakum ha'idan ha'zeh. What's the greatest place of closest to Hashem is the world to come. The reason why the world to come is so unbelievable is because that's the greatest reward of the world to come is not like these idiots in Saudi Arabia think. They have 70 virgins. Or you have some you're like on a lounge chair somewhere, people fanning you. That's not some physical life. Just like in this world, what brings a person happiness. By the way, there's no question. The Gemara says, the Talmud says, if you have a comfortable house, that could help a person. That could be an aiding factor. If you have, you know, a comfortable bed, that's not a bad thing to have. It's good to be. Comforts could help a person. It could aid a person. It could abet a person. It doesn't give you happiness, though. Right? It doesn't, you know, the gives you happiness is that purpose, that meaning, that sense of self, right? That's what brings a person happiness. Right? That sense of divine in a person's life. That will bring a person happiness. But having a car that works, I think, you know, I drive a GPS. Baruch Hashem, I'm ready. I got now my car, my newest car. It's not such a, it's, you know, the one thing I got this mirror. When I turn right, I have like a camera. Now my car, that's a few months ago. I can turn right on my camera. I turn in the right lane. I don't even look back anymore. It has a video. This is great. It's like fantastic. It's huge. I wish I had this years ago. Right, it's safety wise, it's great. I wish my wife's car had that. That car's like a bus, you know. She needs that much more than I do, you know. But I have a video. This is not a good, bad thing to have. It's a little bit costing $8 more a month, whatever it is. But I think it's well worth it, you know. Safety, well worth it. Peace of mind when I'm driving on the highway. You know, driving on the highway is stressful, especially with half these drivers texting. You know, you gotta. You know, it's stressful. Listen to the class of one online, it may be a little bit better, but it's stressful. But now I got this little video. It's great. It's like a camera. Like I can like turn right. I know if there's a car behind me, no blind spots. It's not a bad thing to have some of these things. You have a comfortable bed. You ever sleep in someone's house and the bed, the pillow is not good? It's not fun. You know, it can, the pillow can kill you. If you don't have a hard pillow, I can't. Seriously, if I sleep with a hard pillow, like a rock, you ever have those pillows? I don't know how people, they're thinking, oh, it's, you know, or you have a soft pillow, it's like a mush. Also, so it's not okay. It's okay. You can have a good pillow. But you know what? I never was happy or sad because I had a hard pillow, a soft pillow. It's helpful. It's helpful. But it doesn't make or break you. You know what's going to make you break your life? Closest to Hashem. No, and that's what you have to know in this world. What's our goal? Our goal is to be close to Hashem. That will make and break a person. That will make and break a person. That will give a person simcha, joy, clarity, purpose. And ultimately the next world, as the Rambam calls out, which is the greatest joy, which is the real purpose of life. This whole world, everything we're in this world, was created to get us to the world to come, which is, and the world to come is all about being close to Hashem. Because just like in this world, the greatest pleasure, you know, the greatest pleasure is, you know, I don't know these there's a, just today there's a, these what's these movie stars just got it, or whatever they are, singers just got it. It's like front page news, you know, these Angelica, whatever her name is, I shouldn't make fun of her. Father's very pro-Israel, actually. Father's super. John Voight happens to be very pro-Israel. I've never seen her in her music or movies or television, whatever she does, but I know that her father's very pro-Israel. She's getting divorced, right? So basically, I saw they have $500 million estate between these two people. You know what it means to be divorced and to divide custody with the kids? And she claimed that he was drinking or whatever. I read one article, but I saw, there must be hundreds of articles about this couple. Like, who cares? Like, how does it affect your life? I have no idea, but people have nothing to live for. So they read about somebody else's divorce. Like, there's hundreds of articles about this couple getting divorced. I mean, that's how does it affect you? Like, why would you sit there and read an article? I only looked at it because I wanted to speak about this class tonight, so I wanted to make note of it. It's hundreds of articles. But think about it. What shaychus does it have to anything in life? But you know what? The person can have lots of money. You know what's going to be like now? One guy is drinking or not drinking, this or that. Their whole life is in a fishbowl. Everyone looking at them. You know, that itself is abnormal. Poor kids who were adopted, in custody. Come on. You think that's so great? No, I'm not saying it's unbearable. You can deal with it. Right? But that doesn't bring you happiness. That doesn't bring you happiness. It never brings happiness in this world. Close to Hashem. And the next world, which is this world amplified by a Google. Go figure that out. Right? By billions of times more, close to Hashem is the essence. The essence of pleasure. Right? The essence. You know, again, just to use marriage as a metaphor. Imagine you have a great job and you come home at night and you feel like a stranger in your own house. That's a scary feeling. It's an awful feeling. That's an awful feeling. You come home and you're just uncomfortable. An awful feeling. Right? It's not a good feeling. But again, if a person be in that situation, you make the best of it. If you know how you make the best of it, you're close to Hashem. There are people in that situation. The people who do that is because they're close to Hashem. Who are happy and successful because they're close to Hashem. The greatest pleasure in this world is closest to Hashem. In the next world, so much more. But the way to get to the next world, says the Ramchal, the goal of everyone, look at yourself and think about this. Everyone in this room, our goal, without exception, is the world to come closest to Hashem. That's our goal. That's what we're in this world for. If you want to get to the destination, if you want to get to where you're supposed to go, is this world. You want to know how you get to that destination? There's not television like $39.99 to Aruba. They don't have it on the internet. It's not on the television. It's not on the bus stops. It doesn't say, get to Aruba, or the old days it was to Paris. It's dangerous these days in Paris. You don't want to go there, right? You know, go to this vacation somewhere. It doesn't say that. Really, they should. Really, on every bus stop, it should be signed, Olam Haba, world to come, destination. Right, you click on the. You're looking to get tickets on JetBlue. Realize your final destination is Olam Haba. Doesn't say that. Did you ever see that? By the way, they did. You look like they're crazy. But really, everything in this world is to get to Olam Haba. Zeh ha'olam. You want to know why you're in this world? To be close to Hashem. Not this world. You should be close to Hashem. That's the way to get there. But the ultimate closeness to Hashem is the world to come. But what's the path? How do you get there? What's the derech? How does a person achieve that? That's this world. V'uma shechazal, what our sages of Blessed Mary told us, ha'olam hazeh, this world is doimeh, is compared to lepraiz there bifnei ha'olam haba, as a, they call it a vestibule, it's like a hallway to get to the world to come. You can't get there without this world. This world is how you get to the world to come. This world has you achieve the world to come. And the mediums, the hechitimsas, as we say in yeshivish. They won't speak yeshivish, Yiddish. Your husband does. Right? The way, the mediums, the mechanism, how a person achieves the world to come. Your husband does too, by the way, also. Right? The mechanisms, how a person gets to the world to come, is letachlis hazeh hamitzvos hem hamitzvos into the mitzvos asher tzivanu aleinu kal yisparach shemo. Then the mitzvos that God commanded us. He wasn't joking, by the way, at Sinai. It wasn't like, by the way, keep kosher. You know, just joking. Right? No, when God said that, it was these are the mitzvos. You want to achieve this. You want to get there. This is how you do it. Right? Don't speak lashon hara is not just a practical way to live. Don't speak lashon hara as your pathway and your ticket to the world to come. Don't speak lashon hara is not just a pathway. Pray to God. It's not just a nice thing to do to get to this world. Everyone's going to pray on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. You know what? I want to be healthy this year. I want to be happy this world. My kids, you know, you have kids. You got to pray. Oh my goodness, you have to pray if you have kids. You got to pray if you have kids. It's not just about praying. You pray because you need to get to the world to come. You need your kids to get to the world to come also. But you need to get to the world to come. Prayer is the way to get to the world to come. Mitzvahs. Can husam ha'adam azeh bo'olam atchila. That's why we start in this world. K'desh ha'yideyam sa'im ha'ila ha'muzdubar l'kan. Through these means that are presented to us here. Yucha lahagia. You could, a person could get to el machom ashehuchan loy, to the place that's been prepared for him, shuwa ilam haba, which is the world to come. That's everyone in this room's final destination. That's our goal. That's our focus. L'ravos sham b'toyva shekana loy de'am sa'ad ma'ela. Right? To be enjoy there, in the world to come, by all of the good that you acquired in this world. V'ma sha'amru chazal, is what our sages told us. Hayom la'asaysam, u'machar l'kabal scharam. You do today, and tomorrow, metaphorically, in the world to come, you'll reap the reward. Many things we do in this world, we get aggravation for. Right? You have, imagine the following thing. Guests, you have invited guests. They're rude. Some guests are fun, by the way. They're intellectual. They're smart, or they're friendly, or, you know, you have common people you could talk to or about. And the guests are difficult. You get nothing in this world for those guests. The world to come you'll get. Sometimes you don't see your prayers answered now. They'll be in the world to come. You wake up early. I'm going to sleep us. Your husband is Sephardi. It's hard to be a Sephardi at all, by the way. You got to wake up early, huh? You're right. I'm just saying. You're right. It is a Baruch Hashem. You get sleep every morning, but it's hard. Not telling it's so easy. You give up sleep. You work late at night. You wake up hard. It's a Baruch Hashem to have the schus. But it's hard. You know? It's not an easy thing. You make Pesach. Oh, I mean, Pesach. You know? I remember Pesach is a few months away. You know? It's not an easy. You get the reward. Maybe you get a few pounds after Pesach. You have to burn off. You know? Your credit card bill gets higher. But it's not like you walk out of Pesach. Don't get me wrong over here. I love Pesach. I feel very close to Hashem on Pesach. I wouldn't get Pesach for anything in the world. But you're not the reward. That's closest to Hashem. You're not rewarded. Your bank account doesn't increase over Pesach. Mine doesn't. If it does, just let me know how you pull this off. Mine goes down. You know, I got to exercise after Pesach. I know. I mean, very few people lose weight over Pesach. It's not like you walk out of Pesach and you could, oh, Pesach, I'm wealthy. That's what happened that way. But you know, you'll be wealthy. You'll be really wealthy in the world to come because you got Pesach. You can't even imagine how wealthy you'll be for Pesach. You know, you never thought that because we're not thinking about it. But you know what? You go to Pesach, you clean your house, you have Siddurim. You know, you have matzah and maror, and you sit there, you do leaning, you do the mitzvahs, and you stay up late on Pesach. You drink four cups of wine, you say, oh, you know how much mitzvahs you got on Pesach? You know how many mitzvahs, how wealthy you are after Pesach? That's a Baruch Hashem. You come out of Pesach a trillionaire. You can forget the debt of the United States. You're a trillionaire. That's unbelievable. That's the real word. Hayom, though, you can't. There's no Pesach in the world to come. You either did Pesach or you didn't do Pesach. You either invited guests or you didn't invite guests. You didn't invite the guests. You don't get the reward. You sat there. You had a good nap on Shabbos. You slept well. Good. But you didn't get the guests. Now, it happens to you, as I mentioned, in 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, maybe 4 weeks from now, right? I'm not having guests. I got to take care of my family. My wife's got a lot of kids. My wife's going to be recuperating. You know? I'm not planning to have guests then. So that's not my mitzvah that day. But let's say I could have guests. I don't have guests because I want to relax. Could be it's like that for some people. You need to relax some weeks. Or it could be you really should have had guests. And you miss that and you won't get that reward. A million things are like that. Hayom, you gotta do it now. Either do it now or don't do it. You do charity, either do charity or didn't do charity. You daven today, you didn't daven today. It's hayom lasosam. Now is our chance. No one lives forever. You live in this world, you're given opportunities. You either invest in them, you either take advantage of them, or you don't take advantage of them. When you examine the matter further, you'll see ki ashlemis ha'amiti, that the true perfection, hurak ha'dveikis bo'yis baruch. When you cling to Hashem, now you will see, to cling to Hashem, you have to be a good person, to be a happy person. I'm going to say a blessing. Thank you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol nehiyah b'ro. You have to be a happy person. You have to be a refined person. You have to be a worked on person. The dveikis is baruch shemo. That's what leads to presence of shlemus amiti. And that doesn't just mean in, you know, some people like interpersonal or nice people, friendly people, but they don't work on their shmiras mitzvahs. Other people are very, very religious. Very religious. But they're not friendly. I mean, you're uncomfortable. You meet these people. Like, you know, they're not, you need both. Shlemus means package deal. Full circle. You do ben adam l'chavero and ben adam l'malkom. Both. Both. And that shlemus amiti leads to dveikis bo yisparach. V'umash adavar alav adavar oimer. So it's ani kirvas aleikim l'toy. To be close to God. What did King David, who was the most powerful ruler of his time, want? To be close to God. To be close to Hashem. The Omer, we're saying this actually every day. Is anyone saying Ladavar Hashem Ori? Any lady saying it in the room? Saying it? Anyone else? You should say it. Ladavar Hashem, Kapitel 27. All right, my kids have a chart. They say it, they get a reward at the end. It's a great thing to say. It's such a beautiful psalm by David Melch. The custom is to say it morning and night from Elul to Shemini Atzeres. It's this auspicious time of the year. Right, it's not it's Ashkenazi custom, it's for everyone, it's a custom. Anyone in Shul saying this. So if you have the opportunity, if you don't have time during the day, say it at least every night. It will change you. If you don't know the Hebrew, get an English tilam. Say Psalms 27. Because we say, what is David Melch saying there? Acha shu'alti me'is Hashem. One thing I ask from Hashem. Oyso alakesh. This is my request. Shifti be'is Hashem. They should constantly dwell in the house of Hashem. And you should feel at home with Hashem. You know what? As I mentioned, you come home, feel like a stranger. You know what I mean? If you come to your house and feel like a stranger, it's not a good feeling. By the way, there are people in their own houses that feel like strangers. And David wants to be close in the house of Hashem. He wants to go into Hashem's house and be, this is my home. This is my home. This is my home. Kirak zehu atoiv. This is the ultimate good. V'chol zeh sheyachshivuhu b'nei ha'adam l'tov. But any other thing that people think is intrinsically good, intrinsically. Again, you know, having a comfortable pillow, or having a little video, or going on a vacation once in a while, it's great and helpful. They're helpful. But it's not intrinsically good. You know, it's not intrinsically good. Only the intrinsically, be'etzem, intrinsically good is closest to Hashem. And anything else in and of itself is hevel v'shavnita. Means it's foolishness and it blinds you. Which means if you think working for Google or Facebook is going to bring you happiness, ask your husband. It doesn't. There are plenty of unhappy people working for Google or Facebook. If you think having a happy, fancy house is not going to... No, working for Google could be very nice. It could make a living, pay for your kids to go to school. It's expensive to go to school, right? It could be, it's a fun place to work. They have kosher food there. Not such a slouch, they have kosher food. Once in a while, they have good rabbis come and speak. Once in a while, right? It's not a bad thing, right? But it doesn't bring you happiness. It could help, you know? Having a good pillow could help. Having a car with GPS could help. You know, as opposed to having a car without GPS, you know what it is to get lost? It's not fun. Having air conditioning in your car, you know, it's a hot day, and it's not a bad thing to have air conditioning. You know, leather seats, I mean, people have leather seats, it's more comfortable. It could help, but it's not intrinsic. If you run after that, you're missing the boat. If you run after that, you'll be missing the boat of life. Not only in this world, which is secondary, but in the purpose of life. You'll end up wasting your life. Wasting, squandering. You know, I feel, I really, when I look at a guy like Mark Zuckerberg, I think, what a loser. Now, he doesn't know better, but I feel bad for the guy. He has billions and he has nothing. He has zero and zilch. He's going to come to the world to come as a big zero. Now, maybe, I don't know, it could be something that's valuable. You know, spending billions of dollars on things which are helpful, maybe, as you know. I mean, God gave him billions of dollars. I'm not God. I'm not judging him. But he, to my knowledge, he's a big loser. He had tremendous potential. Married to a non-Jew on Shabbos. Has no connection to God at all. He'll live his life in this world to get lots of popularity. But if you send him to me, I can help him. I will help him get to the world to come. You send him to me. If you meet him ever, send him my way. I'll help him out. Trust me. I'll give him some merits, right? But, you know, on a serious note, I mean, you think this guy, every one of you ladies are much wealthier than him. He's like a guy, you know, when you're a little kid, a kid having fun in class, and he fails the final, and he doesn't get advanced? That's what it's like. At the end of the day, there's a final. You know, like the kid is like always skipping and laughing, and then he fails the final. That's not fun in life. To fail the final, you get left back. Yeah, it's not a good thing. I feel bad for him. Now, I'm not judging him. He really grew up in a completely not knowledgeable home. You know, and God will judge him, not me. But I'm not jealous of a guy like that at all. At all. I feel bad for him. Honestly, I feel bad for him. I feel bad for Sergey Brin. I really do. And I think once drove by me. I mean, like, I feel bad for the guy. What does he have? You think for having a few minutes of, you know what the world to come is, by the way, and even in this world, if you think cars and this and front pages make you happy, it doesn't make a person happy. Look at Angelica. You think she's happy today? You know, I think she's walking around smiling. You know, like, you know what it is to go through a divorce and $500 million and sit there fighting over the kids and the rest of your life. You know, people looking at you and analyzing, that's not a happy life. Now, she could be happy, by the way. Even in the situation, she could have close to Hashem. I don't know her. I don't really know her life story, except that for some reason they have hundreds of articles about her, which I can't figure out. But I could figure out looking at some of the people who read these articles. But at the end of the day, it's not gonna, this is what you run after. Hevel v'nitza, you're missing the boat of life. You're running after fool's gold. Amak sheyizke alo toiva hazos. When a person comes to true perfection, roi sheyamol rishona v'yishtado b'yigal k'naisa. Right, you should endeavor. V'hana sheyishtado lo ledavik bo yisparach. You should make an effort to get close to Hashem. Through the power of our actions. What do you teach as a little kid? Actions speak louder than words. You know what ultimately is the litmus test? Actions. You do a mitzvah, you don't do it. It's very nice. Let's go back to guests. I don't know why I picked guests tonight, but it just popped in my head. Yeah, the guest. You want to invite the guest. Meanwhile, the person doesn't have a meal to eat. You don't invite him, he doesn't have a meal to eat. He goes home hungry. Is that helpful? You meant to invite him. You meant to come to shul and pray on Yom Kippur. That's nice. You didn't pray. You meant to be there. I meant to apologize to the person, but you didn't do it. Hey, you meant to, you know, make your husband dinner. You didn't make him, so he ate some, you know, Rice Krispies or whatever. Hey, poor guy. Right. No, life is about real actions speak loud. In other words, that's something about Hashem, mitzvahs. What do you know? Again, it's going to be subjective. We'll learn about this. They have a mitzvahs. Mitzvahs. Everyone's destination in this room, that exception is the world to come. Everyone's goal is closest to Hashem, not just in this world, but in the world to come. And the way you get there is mitzvahs. We will pick up on this next week.
Nothing.
If you get credit for your intention, if you try to do it. Now, if you do, it's worth nothing. If you continually have intention, it can lead you to that path. There are people who, for years, work themselves up through intention, but eventually, attention has to lead you somewhere. So, it's good intentions are better than bad intentions. Good intentions have some value, but if they never lead to anywhere, they have very little value. There are something there, but wanting that already shows a sign of goodness in you. Right, it's already a stirring of goodness. But ultimately, the real reward and the real advancement comes from deeds.